You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
There are a number of things you're going to learn in life as a young man or a young woman. Just a number of things you're going to learn about people, things you're going to learn about money, and things you're going to learn about yourself. But one of the most important or essential things I believe that young people need to learn as early as possible are the ways of God. As early as possible, you need to learn not only about your God, but you need to be able to start learning about his ways. Because God is nothing like man, especially when it comes to his ways. Let me show you something in Isaiah. Y'all turn with me to Isaiah 55 and let me back up my statement how God's ways and man's ways are totally different. Notice Isaiah 55 and verse number 9. Isaiah says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are," help me, Lord have mercy. Let's try that again. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth," put some respect on it, "so are higher than and my than your." That's very respectful reading right there. God's ways are just higher than man's ways. God's ways, young people, are different on a total different level than man's ways. For instance, since we are children, we are taught to operate on time. Yeah, you know I'm going to be in first grade for about a year. And once that year up, it's time to go to second grade. Once I get in fifth grade, all I need to put in with this crazy teacher is about 8 months. And then I'm going to the sixth grade. We've been taught to operate on time. Some of you right now, in 2 months, I'm graduating. I know I'm going to be out of high school. But see, God don't operate on time. God does things in seasons. And you may be in one particular season for 6 months, but then you may be in another season for 4 years. And so God, he doesn't operate on man's timetable. Why, Pastor? Because his ways are higher than man's ways. You need money. You thinking, I got to go do something. But when you look at God's ways, he said, "Give, and I'll cause men to give into your bosom." That's God's way. Look at somebody and say, God's ways are higher than man's ways. And the place that you can learn God's ways, young folk, is found in Psalm 77 and 13. You got to have a desire to want to learn God's ways. Notice Psalm 77 and 13. The psalmist says here plainly that your way, O God, is where? In the... Y'all act like y'all can't read. Maybe you're not there, but I got it right here on the wall. Your way, O God, is in the... It's in the sanctuary. So I come to the holy place, God's house, and there I am going to learn his way. Now, God has already set it up that way. But again, you got to have a desire to learn, because you can come to the sanctuary. You can be at the right place, but your mind somewhere else. You can be in class, but doze off. Your attention can be somewhere else. That's why you have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You got to come in saying, Lord, I want to learn more about you. I want to learn more about your ways, and not just learn, but take it and apply it to my life. And so he set it up. We come to his house to learn his way. Can I go further with it? Let's go back to our main text in Numbers 13. And though we're at the last verse, Numbers 13 and 33, when you start at the beginning of the chapter, specifically verse 1 through 3, the scripture reveals how God shows himself or reveals his way to his people. Are y'all still with me? This is one of God's ways. Let's look at Numbers 13, 1 through 3, because it's going to help us understand our main verse in 33. Numbers 13 and 1, and the Lord spoke to who? Moses, saying. The Lord spoke to who? Moses. The Lord spoke to who? God is going to, first of all, speak to his prophet. Moses was the pastor, the preacher, God's mouthpiece. And so here we see in verse 1, God's way is to speak to his prophet. And so throughout the week, your shepherd, your prophet, he's seeking the face of God. Lord, what do you want to say to your folk? What do you have for the young men of the MSW? What do you have for the young gals at the MSW? He speaks to his prophet. And let me say this, you should be praying for your prophet, your pastor, throughout the week. You should be asked, God, speak to the man of God so he can give me exactly what I need. You know what I'm going through. You know what I'm facing. You know what I'm putting before you. Speak to the man of God. Now listen, God will speak to his people, but he primarily speaks to his people indirectly through his prophet. Verse 2, and notice the Lord began to speak. Y'all still with me? Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am, help me, giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, Moses, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So, the Lord then begins to reveal his secrets to the prophet. And notice in verse 2, the secret is God has something that he wants to give to his children. He's got a land that he wants to give to the children of Israel. Now, see, you can't get these secrets at school. You can't get these secrets from the news. When God wants to do something for his people, he's going to reveal his secret to his prophets. And we see it right here in verse number 2. And so he tells Moses, look, I want to give them a land. Now, the first thing I want you to do is get some spies. And I want you to make sure that they're leaders. And I want you to tell them to do a particular thing. God is unfolding his plan for their life. God has not changed. When we come to his house, he's going to give us messages that's going to help us to be productive in life. Are y'all still with me? So God has spoken to Moses. He reveals his secret. I want to do something for him. And see, whenever you know God want to do something, you should be getting excited. I said, you should be getting excited. You should be like, do it, Lord. Because whenever God does something, it's going to make our lives what? Better. Now check this out. Verse 3. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to what? The command of who? The Lord. Now some of us act like we can't read. I need you to finish strong. All of the men whom were help me of the children of. So Moses heard the message and then he put it into what? Action. He put it into action. He told the people what the Lord wanted. He started putting it into action. He want me to get some spies, some leaders, and send them. I'm going to do what the Lord has revealed. Likewise, young folk, when we get the word, we should be like Moses and start putting it into action. Whatever God puts on the table, we should start putting it into action, even if it's challenging. Even if your flesh don't like it, we should still put the word into action. And this is God's way. The prophet seeks the Lord. The prophet hears the secret, tells the people, and the people put it into what? Action. Jesus said it like this: man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Young people, God expects us to live by the word that is revealed. God expects you to live by what comes from the mouth of your pastor. That's what he expects. He doesn't want you to just be a hearer only, because if you're a hearer only, the scriptures say you are deceiving yourself. You think you're in the will of God, but you ain't doing what God commanded. And so you and I have to make sure that once that word comes forth, that's what we live by. We don't live by what the celebrities say. We don't live by what's coming off the news. We live by what God reveals. And so this is what was going on in the book of Numbers. God done said, I want to do something for my people. All I want y'all to do is go out, spy the land, check it out, see what it be like, and then come back with the report. And so they begin to do that. Moses sent out 12 spies to check out the land. And when you read verses 3 through about 27, 28, you will find out that they went over into the land that God wanted to give them and found out some other people were living in the land. They not only found out that some other folk were living in the land, they were checking out the fruit. And they found grapes and pomegranates so big that two men had to carry them. That's how big they were. The Bible says that the grapes were so big, they had to put a pole in between the fruit and they had to carry it back. That's how big the fruit was. And they said, man, it's some good stuff over there. I said, it's some good stuff over there. So after 40 days, how long did they stay over there? 40 days, they came back to Moses. And Moses said, tell me what you saw. Was it like the Lord had said? And they said, oh, yeah, the fruit was right. The land was right. I mean, it's a good land. It's a land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was a productive place. How many know when God give you something, it's going to be good? God don't give no junk. If God give you a job, it's going to be beneficial. If God give you a car, it's going to be beneficial. Now, if you pick out some junk, that's on you. But every gift that God gives is good. Woo, look at somebody say, every gift that God gives is good. That's right. It's beneficial. Now, if you pick out a bad man, that's on you. If you pick out a bad woman, that so God don't give no mess. Y'all ought to help me say that. Look at somebody say, God don't give no mess. And that's why, young folk, you just need to take your time, because you got to evaluate if something is real. You got to check out if something is authentic, because something can say FUBU, but if you look closely, it be like FUBO. You want the real thing. Something can be shiny, but just because it's shining don't mean it's 18, 14, or 24 karat gold. But if you wear it for a while and you get to going through something and your neck start turning green, your hands start turning green, you done found out too late that you got something fake. Look at somebody say, I don't want to find out too late that I got something fake. I want the real thing. That's why, young folk, you should take your time in life. You should make sure things are proven or have been gone through a fire or a test. You don't quickly call everybody your best friend. Let them prove to you that they're your friend. Am I right about it? You don't be quick to put no ring on nobody's finger. They need to prove their loyalty, prove their love. You don't give everybody your money. You need to make sure that there's somebody that's worthy of your hard-earned money. Take your time. Because when God gives things, he gives good stuff. And I'm telling you, listen, not only because that's what the Bible teaches, I'm telling you from experience. I wanted a particular vehicle, but in my mind was I wanted it debt-free. I wanted to pay for it. I don't want no car payments. That was what was in my mind. And so what I did, the Lord told me he wanted to give me this particular car. So I went looking. And sadly, I was only looking for what I could do and not what God wanted me to have. Remember, he was giving them this land. Y'all still with me? So I messed around and I found this particular car that it was running. It was a decent looking car. AC was working. And I could give them the cash and be done with it. But it wasn't good. It wasn't what God wanted me to have. Because truth be told, the guy when I bought it, he said, now look, there's one issue with it. Yeah, that's what he said. It's one issue, and you can go on YouTube, and you can solve this. And you go on YouTube, they'll show you how to do it, and he just made it sound so good. And I was just like, yeah, okay, we straight then. Here go the money, here go the title. And, man, I was right. Got back home the next day, went out, started the car, and it didn't start. So I go to YouTube to do like the man told me. But that didn't work. Oh, Lord. Look at somebody say, oh, Lord. Baker picked out some junk. Man, I messed around and took it to the mechanic. The mechanic said, man, I don't know what's wrong with this car. He kept it for over a month. Left it there for a month. Took it somewhere else. He was like, man, I don't know what's wrong with this car. I can't find what's wrong. I said, Lord, have mercy. I done messed around and picked out some junk. Wife didn't halfway want to ride in it with me. She just didn't feel right. She was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to get back home. Actually, that happened. I took her someplace in it one time, and it wouldn't start. Had to get a junk just to get my wife back home. Look at somebody say, he picked out some junk. Yeah, I did. I picked out something God didn't want me to have. So after I repented, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. I was looking at what I can do and not what you wanted to give me. I said, what you want to give me? And so I went looking and I said, well, Lord, I don't have that to pay it off. But this is what I want to give you. So I went and got it, possessed it. And every month he has made sure that the payment has been met. So instead of him paying it off this time in one lump, the Lord's showing me, look, Baker, I can take care of you every month. If I want to cause you to get the blessing every month to pay it off, I can do that. If I want to give you the money all at one time, I can do that. But the key is God had gave it to me. Now check this out. I messed around and sold a car to somebody. I sold the car that I said was junk, that I knew God didn't want me to have after I considered it. Y'all still with me? I sold the car, and the person was just so happy. And I said, now look, it's got one problem. And I haven't been able to find out what it is. I done took it to mechanic, and they just cannot find what's wrong with it. Are you sure you want to buy it? You know, I wasn't trying to be janky. Y'all feel me? He said, no, that's all right. I'll take it. Now get this. He got the car, gave God the praise, took it, and figured out exactly what was wrong with it. And riding around and ain't had not one problem. Not one problem. But you know what I learned? You know what I learned? You never do what you want to do. God hid the problem from me to teach me it wasn't about what I wanted. It was about what he wanted to give me. But see, sometimes we settle. Sometimes we settle because we feel like we can do it. But what do you do when God say, I want to give you something. I want to give you Canaan. I want to give you something that's beyond your means. It's going to take you trusting him. Are you with me, young adults? So the key is, if God want to do something, we need to do it his way. Y'all ought to give God the hand clap for helping Pastor learn something. And so the 10 spies came back, or the 12 spies came back, and they all came back with a report that was somewhat different. Isn't it amazing how you can have the same message go out to one group of people, but everybody receive it differently? I said you can have a group of people in the same place, all hear the exact same thing, but receive it differently. Notice Caleb, verse 30. Y'all still with me? All right, let's deal with Caleb and how he received it. Caleb, in verse 30 of Numbers 13, was listening to the 10 talk about what they couldn't do. Caleb said in verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and do what? Man, y'all, I'm keep giving y'all chance after chance and y'all fumbling the ball. He said, let us go up at once and what? For we are well able to what? Overcome it. We can do it. Caleb had a go-getter mentality. Caleb said, look, regardless of who in the land, if God want to give it to us, we can overcome them and we can get what God promised. See, that's the type of mentality we need to have when the word come forth. We need to have a go-getter's mentality. We need to be just like Caleb and say, well, if God said it through the man of God, then so be it. We can do this thing. Look at somebody and say, are you a go-getter? Yeah. See, when you are a go-getter, you're going to have some qualities. First of all, you're going to obey the word. I said, you're going to do what? Obey the word. You're going to hear that word, and it may step on your toes. It may show you your sin, but you're going to repent, and you're going to start putting that word into action. You know that obedience is better than sacrifice. You know that if you love God, you got to obey him or keep his commandments. When you and I have a go-getter's mentality, you are ready to obey God's word. Your friend may not obey it, but you a go-getter, you're going to obey it. Secondly, when you have a go-getter's mentality, you understand that in life, young folk, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be enemies. But when you have a go-getter's mentality, you have the mindset, you know what? I can overcome it. You know, I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me. I can overcome this thing. It may take me a week. It may take me a month, but I am going to prevail. I am going to triumph. Thanks be unto God who has already given me the victory. I can overcome this porn. I can overcome this weed. I can overcome this sexual relationship. I can overcome this nasty attitude. Whatever has been getting the best of you, you got to say, I can overcome it. Me and Jesus, I got the greater one on the inside of me. Shout, I can overcome it. You are the victor, not the victim. You're the one that God gave the power to subdue the earth. You're the one that God said, all things are possible to him that can believe. You can come out of debt. You can have your own house. You can get restoration. You can live safe. Somebody say, I can. Yeah, you can overcome it. Yeah, when you save and got the Holy Spirit, you got to know that you can overcome whatever comes your way. And your opposition gonna talk big. Your opposition will talk to you and tell you you too young. Your opposition will tell you you don't have the experience, but you got to do like David did to Goliath and talk back and say, you coming to me with a sword and spear, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord, and this day I'm going to cut your head off. I am going to overcome you. You got to talk back to your enemies. Why are you depressed? Why are you looking down on yourself? Talk back. Look at somebody and say, talk back. Yeah, don't talk back to mama. Don't talk back to the teacher. Don't talk back to that, but talk back to your enemies. Talk back to whatever is trying to get the best of you. Man, I be in the car talking back to myself and to my problems. Talking back to my mountains. How many know your mountains will talk to you? Yeah, you stupid. You ain't gonna pass that class. You gotta talk. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to pass this Spanish class. I may have failed it last semester, but I'm going to pass it this time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at somebody and say, use your mouth right. And finally, when you have a go-getter's mentality, you obtain the promise. I said, you obtain whatever God has promised you. You go get it. You lay hold to it. You possess it. This generation of young people sit back and want folk to give them something. They just feel like they deserve. Deserve ain't got nothing to do with it. You got to go get it. The kingdom of God suffers violent, and the violent take it. You got to take it. Look at somebody say, don't sit back and wait on no handout. No, obtain the promise of God. But understand something, young people. When you're obeying the word, when you're overcoming different things, and when you're made up in your mind you're going to obtain the promises of God, listen real close. It takes time. You can leave here ready. You can leave here energized and pumped up, but it's still going to take some. It's going to take some time. Every fight ain't no first round knockout. Sometimes you got to go all 12 rounds. It take time. And let me just pause for the cause and say, even though Caleb had a go-getter's mentality, it took time. When God made him this promise, are y'all listening? Let me talk to some of these anxious young people. When God promised Caleb that he would give him the land, he was 40 years old. 40 years old. How old was he? 40. And you find this in Joshua 14, 7. He would testify. He said, when God made a promise, on that day, I was 40. But when he possessed the land, when he got what God had promised him, he was 85. 85 minus 40 is what? 45, 47. What is it? It's 45. 45. 45 years he had to maintain a go-getter's mentality. He had to drive out the sons of Anak. He had to deal with other things, but he finally got what God had with promise. What makes you think you're going to be a millionaire in 2 weeks? What makes you think that your marriage is just going to be so blissful after 90 days? You're going to have to put in some time. Go to school tomorrow and just tell them, I want to graduate now. It don't work like that. It takes time. It takes time to develop, to mature, to grow, to learn. Caleb had the right attitude, the right mindset, but it took 45 years for him. It may not take you 45 years. It may take you 15. Shoot, it may take you 55 years. But the key is, however long it takes, that we obtain what God promised. Don't get in such a hurry to get grown and to do something that you hear they make sound on social media like in the next 30 days, your life is just going to be so revolutionized. And it takes, help me, it takes time. I know I'm teaching right. I know I'm teaching right. Take time. And you have to be willing to go through the process. Got to be willing. If you anxious, you greedy, you ain't willing. You in such a hurry, the race is not given to the swift. If somebody else get there before you, praise the Lord. In this life, you're going to bump into people that got more money than you, look better than you, got more possessions than you, but you don't let that stop you or hinder you on your journey. They just happened to get there before you did. And I used to have a problem with that because I'd be comparing. You can't compare. You got to run your race. You got to endure until the end. I know I'm talking right. I'm trying to help somebody. Look at Hebrews 6 and 10. And so after he had patiently what? Boy, Elder Leek's reading. I need y'all to get on that level. And so after he had patiently, he what? Obtained the what? That's what you're going to have to do. That's got to be your mentality as a go-getter. I just got to patiently endure. Got to patiently endure. My gift going to make room for me. May not have customers this week, but I have some next week. May not have got the opportunity yet, but God going to give me the opportunity. I got to patiently endure. It's going to happen. Woo, I said, it's gonna happen. Ask Hannah, who couldn't have a baby. Her mind said, I'm going to have me a man child. I'm going to have me a son. And sooner than later, guess what she had? God, open up that womb. And I'm trying to tell somebody today, look, you got to have a go-getter's mentality in this life. But it's going to take you patiently in enduring. You got to learn how to be low. You got to learn how to live off peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Yeah, you talking about steak and shrimp all the time. No, it ain't going to always be steak and shrimp. You better learn how to make a tuna fish sandwich. You better learn how to make it pop, put a little pepper in there, some onion and some relish, and put some mustard on that bread. You better learn how to get you some plain potato chips one day, then flip it with sour cream and onion the next, and flip it another time with some barbecue, and then sometime put the chips in there with the tuna fish on the bread and go to work. You gotta know how to live low. It'll come a point where you can eat Papados every other day if you want to, Sizzler every other day, Longhorn. Yeah, but until the Lord bring it, patiently endure. Keep working that 4-for-4. You better go. Let me get 2 of them 4-for-4s. What's 4-for-4? That's 8. Let me get 2 of them 4-for-4s. You going to warm up that front. Let me get a supersize today. You better learn how to work it patiently. Indoor. Baby, you got to learn how to be lonely sometime. You got to learn how to be by yourself sometime. Because there's some folk that's booed up with the wrong one. You better learn how to love you, take care of you, build up your aunt hole, your savings account, shop for yourself, take care of you. So when God sends you somebody, you know how to be treated. Yeah, you know how to be treated. Ooh, I know I'm talking right. But when you are anxious and in a hurry, you're going to do like Baker did. You're going to pick out some junk. Yeah, you're going to pick out some junk. You're going to pick out some junk. Y'all remember back in high school, everybody had that fake belt trying to act like it was real? No, a real belt going to cost you about $800. They walking around with the fake designer. No, it going to cost you something. And productivity, success, happiness, peace, it costs you something. Costs you something. And so Caleb, after 45 years, his determination paid off. And he possessed what God had promised. But out of the 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb had to go get a mentality. As I close, what was jacked up is it was 10 spies who didn't have a go-getters mentality. You know what that lets me know? When it comes to church folk, most don't have the right mentality. And check this out. These were leaders, elders that Moses sent over there, and they came back with what I call a grasshopper mentality. They didn't come back with a go-getter's mentality. They came back with a help me a grasshopper mentality. A little beetle that's in the insect family with the locust. Got some wings, but is primarily known for jumping around from one place to another. Don't want to get somewhere and sit down just from one place to another. Ooh, unstable. Unstable. And that's what I don't want to see young people being. Just jumping around like a cricket or a grasshopper. Just here, there, and everywhere. When a person has a grasshopper mentality, they have traits found in our main text. We're going to close with Numbers 13:33. Let's read it. Y'all still with me? There we saw the giants. There we saw who? The descendants of Anak who came from the giants. Let's stop right there. When you have a grasshopper mentality, you focus on your enemy. These jokers should have been thinking about them grapes, them pomegranates. That's what I want, that juicy juice. I want some of that. But they were focused on them 9 to 10 foot giants. And see, when you have a grasshopper mentality, you focus on your enemy. You focus on your enemy's strengths. You got the wrong mindset. You know, they say everybody who take her class fail. Or at least come out with a C. Don't nobody come out with an A or a B. You focused on your enemy. Man, you know that right there costs $500 a month. $500 a month. $500 a month. You're focused on your what? You know, they said you got to have a 750 in order to get that on your credit. A 750? 750. Focused on your what? Your enemies. Have you ever been guilty of focusing on the wrong thing? You got to stop that. especially if you say, why are you doing that? You should see your enemy, but not focus on your enemy. Yeah. You're going to see your enemy, but don't just what? Focus on your enemy. But that ain't the one I want to deal with. They focused on not only their enemy, but their own insecurities. Hey, let's go back. Look at this verse. They saw that the giants, the descendants of the Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. They had some insecurities, and they were focused on themselves more so than what God was able to do. I'm going to tell y'all a quick secret. Everybody got something about themselves they don't like. Everybody. And some of us would be too embarrassed to talk about it publicly. Some of us make a big deal out of really some stuff that the only one that make a big deal out of it is you. It's your insecurity. God made you a tall, pretty young girl. It's some girl that I'm just so tall. I got to look down on everybody. It's a blessing to be tall. You got a different perspective. But if you focus on you just being tall, you miss the beauty in what God put in you. So what? You talk a little different. You talk with that, a hisp. Lisp, see? And most young folk, you know how we do. If we lock in on an insecurity, you getting talked about. You getting jumped. Big head, joker. Look at old big foot, light-skinned dog. You light-skinned and dog. Light-skinned dog. Just, if somebody find your insecurity, they lock in. Now, you may laugh, but on the inside, you be like, oh. Everybody got something. I said, everybody got something. Y'all see my wrist right here? This is my birthmark. It's not on this hand. I got freckles on my wrist. That's my birthmark. And when I was coming up, folks were like, what is wrong with you? What's wrong with that this discoloration in your skin? I'm like, that's my birthmark. I cannot control that it was right here. And I had to realize there's nothing I can do about that. Don't let your insecurities cripple you. You may not be the size you want to be, but you can work on it. I said you can work on it. And even if it don't move like other folks' size move, you got to be confident in your size. Nobody's going to feel good about you for you. You got to sleep with yourself. Baby, your chest may not have developed yet, but you don't be insecure. It's going to come. It's going to happen. You know your insecurities, but don't let it cripple you like they did. They did not see themselves having confidence. You got to stop that. You got to quit saying, I just got to get out of Carrollton. I just got to get out of Carrollton. But what if God want to bless you in Carrollton to show you and others that you can be blessed in the city and you can be blessed in the field, which is the country? Stop being insecure. God done bless you with the car, but you so insecure, you park way down there. Because you don't want nobody to see your car. Man, you better put that car in that parking spot right up there by the door. Because there's thousands of other people that wish they had what you had. They were insecure. And you go through that phase. But if you don't correct it, you'll be in your 30s. Still insecure. On that dumb stuff. You got to grow. You got to develop. Oh, is God hitting something? Yeah. Quit being insecure. Find the beauty in you that God created. And stand on it. And finally, when you have a grasshopper mentality, notice the scripture concludes by saying, and so they were in their sight. They saw themselves as being weak, and so their enemies saw them as being weak. They chose to be intimidated. You don't let anybody intimidate you in life. You be who God made you to be. Intimidation shouldn't have a place in your life. Again, there's always going to be somebody who's bigger, better, faster, or more wealthy than you. Always. And some folk will try to make you feel this big because you're not on their level. You got to learn how to still hold your head up, keep your chest out, and let that person know, I'm not intimidated by you. I'm not going to let you despise me because you may have more or be greater than I am. That's where they messed up. They were intimidated by their own enemies. I just done got a place in my life. I'm not going to be intimidated by nobody. And I want you to have that same spirit. We see it in scripture. Was David intimidated by Goliath? No. I said, was David intimidated by Goliath? But some of us, you get intimidated by different things. Different people. Talk to her. She human. All she can say is she don't like you. And then your mind says, that's her loss. Talk to her. You're going to get shot down in life. That's a part of it. Step to her. Work on your game. Look at somebody say, work on your game. Yeah, you ain't going to hit every shot. Jordan never shot 100%. Kobe never shot 100%. But you know what you have to work on it. Yeah. You don't be intimidated by nobody, whether that's ministry, relationships, mindset, whatever. Look at somebody and say, don't be intimidated. If you the photographer and you got to get the shot, come up here and get the shot. Right? If you the boss, then you got the last say so. Crack that whip. You don't be intimidated by what? Now you be respectful. But you just don't let folk run you. And sadly, these 10 spies, they didn't even get to fighting with the Anaks. They had already lost because they were just scared. They were some punks, pushovers, intimidated. And sometimes it ain't nothing wrong with getting beat. In life, sometimes you take an L. But you dust yourself back off, get back up, and go at it again. I said, sometime in life, you won't hear most preachers say that. Sometimes in life, you take a loss. You get defeated. You may lose the battle, but when it's all said and done, it's going to work out together for your good. So you have to make sure, young people, as you grow, I'm not going to have no grasshopper mentality. I'm not going to be focused on my enemies. I'm not going to be focused on my insecurities. And I'm not going to be intimidated. Because if God said something was going to happen, it's up to me to go get it. And I need to understand it's always going to be somebody standing there to try to keep me from possessing or being who God said I could be. I want to close with this. What you focus on, young people, will determine your level of prosperity and productivity. Either you're going to focus on what God said or you're going to focus on what you see. And that's one of the lessons we learn. Caleb and Joshua, they focused on what God said. The other 10 spies, they focused on what they could see. And y'all ain't saying nothing, but that's some good teaching. And you make up in your mind, I am not going to have a grasshopper mentality. Amen? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for Numbers 13.